For tonight, to start off this new round of English sermons, last year we covered one subject, one topic, and we kind of went in depth. And this year we're gonna do something a little bit different. We're gonna cover a wide variety of subjects. We did a little survey, if you guys remember. We asked you what you wanted to hear. We talked about things that we were interested in speaking about, and we had so many different ideas that all the speakers are gonna cover different subjects. And tonight I'm gonna cover one of those subjects that God put on my heart. And the thing is, this year, like Christina was saying, and like I was thinking before, before I started to prepare for this message, this year is still new. It's barely the second month of 2013. And this year still holds so much promise. This year still holds so much hope, so many opportunities, and I just don't want anything to slow us down. I don't want anything to hold us back from doing everything that God wants us to do, from being everything that God wants us to be. And one of those things that could be holding us back, one of those things that could be slowing us down, is not being able to let go, not being able to move on, not being able to forgive. So tonight I want to talk about forgiveness. I want to talk about letting go. I want to talk about in God being able to move on and being able to step into the plans that God has for you, the plans that God has for this church. I'm going to be speaking from Philemon. If you guys want to open up to the book of Philemon, it's a short one-chapter book, and I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to explain it to you. I'm going to let you know what goes on in this book really quickly. So basically, there's a man named Philemon. He's a Christian, but he owns a slave. The slave's name is Onesimus, and Onesimus isn't a Christian, and what he does is he steals something from Philemon, and then he runs away. And he runs away and somehow meets up with the Apostle Paul in Rome. And in Rome, as the Apostle Paul is in prison, Onesimus and Paul begin to have some sort of interaction. We don't know if Onesimus was captured as a slave and thrown in prison along with Paul, or what happened, how they got together, but what we do know is that God brought Onesimus into the life of Paul, and God brought Paul into the life of Onesimus. And through Paul speaking to him and witnessing to him, Onesimus gives his life to Christ. And now Paul, who knows Philemon, is writing this letter to him, this private letter to Philemon, and he's saying, look, I ran into your former slave, Onesimus. I witnessed to him. He's become a Christian. He's a believer now. I know what he did to you. I know that what he did to you hurt. He stole from you and he hurt you. But now what I'm going to do is I'm going to send him back, not as a slave. I'm sending him back as a brother to you. And I'm asking you to receive him, again, not as a slave, but more than a slave, as a brother. I want you to be able to forgive him, Philemon. I want you to forgive Onesimus. And as he starts this letter, it's beautiful because he gives away the secret to forgiveness right there in the first verse. Right there from the beginning. And that's what I'm going to do. You know, usually we do our sermons by listing out the problems, listing out like what's going wrong, and then at the end we give the solution. Paul starts with the solution right from the get-go, and it's something very, very simple. It's one little thing. He identifies himself in the first verse by saying, I'm Paul, and I'm a prisoner of Christ. And that is the secret, not only to forgiveness, but to living a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. Being able to identify yourself as Paul did. He was in Rome, imprisoned by the government. He was in chains because he was preaching Christ. The Romans had thrown him in jail, but he's looking at a situation and he's saying, you know what? I'm not a prisoner of the Romans. I'm not a prisoner in this place because the Romans threw me in jail. I'm a willing prisoner of Jesus Christ. And as I was reading this epistle, it reminded me of the Gospel of John and the Last Supper, as Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's saying, I have something to tell you. Until now, you've been my slaves. Until this moment, I've called you my slaves, but something's different now. Something's changing. From now on, because of the sacrifice that I'm about to make, because I'm about to give my life for you, die for you, shed my blood for you. Something is changing in our relationship. I'm not going to call you slaves anymore. From now on, you are my friends. You're no longer my slaves. I release you from that burden. I release you from that relationship of slave and master. I call you, Colleen, I call you, Emmanuel, my friend. And what a joy it must have been to the apostles as they heard these words that Jesus Christ, their Messiah, their Redeemer, their Lord, their God, is calling them their friends. And yet, it boggles my mind that over and over again, in Romans, in Philippians, in Titus, James as well, in 2 Peter, Jude in his gospel, in his epistle, when they introduce themselves, instead of saying, I am Paul, the friend of God, or I am Peter, the friend of God, or I am Jude, the friend of God, they identify themselves, I am Jude, I am Peter, I am Paul, the slave of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know that I have this right to call myself his friend, but I choose to identify myself, I choose to identify myself as a willing prisoner of Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? It means that I subject my will, that I subject my plan, that I subject my desires, that I subject my thoughts, that I subject my actions to the will and to the purposes of Jesus Christ. I do not live for me, but I live for Jesus Christ. I do not live to do my own, but I live to do the will of God. My hands, my thoughts, my pain, my happiness, even my forgiving is subject to Jesus Christ. And if you want to stop listening right now, you can, because you've basically heard my sermon. This is it. If you want to be able to forgive, if you want to be able to live a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ, this is the secret. You take your will, you take your thoughts, you take your purposes, and you say, Lord, I'm just going to subject them to you. I'm going to take them, and I'm going to make myself a willing prisoner of your will. Because I know that your word says that your burden is light, your yoke is easy. God, I know that I can make myself a prisoner to you, and it won't be difficult. It won't be hard. It won't be painful. I will not regret it. The world would hate to identify themselves as a prisoner. The world hates to identify themselves as a slave. But God, I know you, and because I know you, and because I have a relationship with you, I can do that. I can be a happy and willing prisoner. I can be a happy and willing slave to you in every area of my life. And because I can do that, then I can forgive. So that's the secret. That's the answer. That's the key. Subjecting my will, subjecting your will to Jesus Christ, making yourself a prisoner to him. But I know that doesn't happen, and I was thinking, again, as I was going through this epistle, well, if we don't make ourselves prisoners of Christ, if we don't make ourselves prisoner of Jesus, we are prisoners of something or other. We are prisoners of something. That's just the way life works out. And I was thinking, what are we prisoners of? What do we make ourselves prisoners of? That we can't then make ourselves prisoners of Christ, that we can't subject our will to him, that we can't forgive, that we can't take that extra step of reconciliation. And one of them is, you know what, we become or we make ourselves prisoners of our own pain. The reason that we were asked to forgive is because we've been hurt, because somebody has actually hurt us. And being hurt, that actually causes pain. And I'm not going to sit here and say, you know what, you guys have to just tough it out. If you're in pain, if somebody's hurt you, if somebody's wronged you, then it's no big deal. Just, you know, tough it up and that's it. Forgive them, forget about it. I know that's not the way it happens. In fact, in Ecclesiastes 3:4, it says, there's a time for everything. There is a time to cry and a time to laugh. There is a time to weep and a time to dance. There's a time for pain. There's a time for mourning. There's a time for crying. And I remember when Dad was in the hospital, he couldn't tell me, Colleen, you know, just tough it up. It's going to be okay. I couldn't do that. Sometimes I know that the pain and those emotions come over you like a wave. They hit you like a Mack truck, and there's nothing that you could do about it. And it's hard and it's difficult. So I'm not saying that, you know, it's easy and all we have to do is forget about the pain. But that's not the problem, because that's not really what we do. See, is God gives us grace, and we pass those first moments of pain. We pass those first hours or days or maybe weeks of that hurt, of that pain that we go through. But we don't let it go. In fact, this is what we do. We go through life, we wake up one morning, and those thoughts of that event come into our mind. And instead of giving them to Christ, what we do is we take them. Like I would take this iPad. You know, I pass by, and I see the iPad. I'm like, oh. Instead of going on my way, I come back, I take it, I remember it, I think about it, I take it with me. I decide to carry it with me throughout the day as I'm thinking about that event that hurt me, as I'm thinking about that person that hurt me, and I'm reliving those moments over and over again in my mind. I'm thinking about what he said or what I said or what I could have said or what he or she should have said, and I'm just reliving those moments. And by dwelling on that pain, by dwelling on that event, I make myself a prisoner of my pain. I make myself a prisoner of the circumstance. And it looks like something small. It looks like it's just a thought. It's just a memory. But you know what happens is it becomes like a rock. It becomes like a boulder that I carry around with me every day. It becomes a weight that weighs me down and that slows me down so that I can't go and be and do what God's called me to do. If I don't want to make myself a prisoner of Jesus, I'm going to make myself a prisoner of something. And lots of us make ourselves prisoners of the pain that we went through. If we don't make ourselves a prisoner of the pain, we can make ourselves a prisoner of our pride. Sometimes I just make myself a prisoner of my own pride. Again, somebody's hurt me. Somebody's done something to wrong me. And I say, you know what? I'm not going to him. I'm not going to make that extra effort. He's the one that's wrong. He's the one that should come to me. He's the one that's got to apologize. I have nothing to say until he makes the first step, right? I wasn't wrong. It wasn't me. He did it. He's got to humble himself. He's got to come to me. And we think about Jesus and what he did for us, and that it wasn't us that sought him, but it was Jesus that sought us. It wasn't us crying out to God and saying, Lord, we need you. It was Jesus who came to this earth and gave his life while the Bible says we were still his enemies, while we still hated him, while we were still there putting him on the cross. He loved us and he came to forgive us. But sometimes our pride gets in the way. Sometimes my pride gets in the way, and I say, you know what? I want people to see that person was wrong. I want them to see publicly that I was right and that he was wrong. I want vengeance. And yet the Bible says that if your brother sins against you, go and rebuke him. How? In private. And if he listens to you, you have won your brother. And I love the way that's worded over there. It doesn't say you've won a brother. It says you've won your brother. This person is already your brother. But in our pride, we often don't look at them as that. We look at them as enemies, right? But the Bible says, that person that you're mad at, that person that hurt you, he's a person that God loves. He's a person that God died for. He's a person that Jesus went to the cross for. If God can love him, why can't you? If God loved him as he was being crucified, why can't you because of some words that he said about you? Are we going to let our pride get in the way? Are we going to let ourselves become prisoners of our pride? The third thing is sometimes we just let ourselves become prisoners of our stuff. And what do I mean by that? Philemon could have been there saying, you know what? Onesimus stole from me. Onesimus took my stuff, and so I can't forgive him until he returns it to me. And Paul is over there saying, Philemon, what's more important? Those couple of dollars, or that iPad, or that computer, or whatever that person took from you? What's more important? Is it your stuff, or is it winning a brother to the kingdom of God? Do you have your priorities straight, Philemon? Can you forgive this person over a few dollars? Can you forgive this person over some gossip that he spread about you? Can you forgive this person over whatever it is that he did to hurt you? Or are you going to let stuff get in the way? And you know what? Paul gives the best example in the book of Philemon, where he says in verse 18, he says, you know what, Philemon, look at it this way. If Onesimus has wronged you in any way, if he owes you or anything, you know what? Forgive him and charge it to my account. I'm going to pay for it. Because in the eyes of Paul, forgiveness and reconciliation was more important than his own possessions. He said, I'm willing to pay out of my own pocket so that you, Onesimus, and you, Philemon, can be brothers again, can have peace again once more. So again, that challenges me and that challenges us as a church to say, you know, what is more important to us? What is our priority? Is it stuff? Is it possessions? Is it what it's going to cost us to go make peace? Is it what it's going to cost us to go win that brother back to Christ? And you know what it's going to cost? It's going to cost awkwardness. It's going to cost awkwardness because it's going to be difficult for us to face that person and to begin that discussion and to open up those words, to look them in the eye and to say, you know what, you hurt me. You really hurt me. But I want to forgive you. I want peace between us. And some of us aren't willing to overcome that awkwardness. We're not willing to go through that little bit of sacrifice because we're saying, you know what, it's going to cost me and it's too much. And Paul says, you know what, I'm not even involved in this. It's not even my fault. But I know that God values peace between brothers and sisters, that God values forgiveness and reconciliation so much that I'm willing to make that payment. I'm willing to make that sacrifice so that the two of you could be at peace. Are we going to make ourselves prisoners of our stuff, of our comfort, or are we going to take that step to make reconciliation? And the last thing that I want to say is sometimes we make ourselves prisoners of our rights. I make myself a prisoner of my rights. But it says in Philippians 2:6, he, meaning Jesus, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. And sometimes we say, you know what? I'm right in this situation, and the person that sinned against me is wrong. And that could very well be the case. I could be 100% right. You could be 100% right. Maybe I owe you an apology, or maybe you owe me an apology. You are 100% in the right. And you know what the Bible says? God still wants you. God still wants me to take that extra step. Even when I'm 100% correct, even when I'm 100% right, God still says, in my kingdom, in my eyes, in my perception, in my evaluation, what's more important is for there to be forgiveness. Not who's right and who's wrong, not who started it or who's going to end it. What I want from the church, what I want from the body of Christ is for there to be peace and love and unity. I want you guys to forgive one another. But we let those things get in the way. And sometimes we make ourselves prisoners of these other things. We make ourselves prisoners of our pain. We make ourselves prisoners of our pride. We make ourselves prisoners of our stuff and of our comfort and not being willing to go and become awkward or become uncomfortable. Or we make ourselves prisoners of our rights instead of taking Jesus himself as an example in that he had every right to call, he says, legions of angels to come to his aid. He could have, but he said, you know what? What I'm doing is more valuable in the eyes of God. Going to the cross is more valuable in the eyes of God. So even though I have a right to call these angels to come, these armies of angels to come and help me, I'm willing to suffer because I know that this is the right thing to do. So I want to ask you and I want to challenge you, church. What are you going to do in 2013? How are you going to go through this year? Are you going to carry burdens and pains and hurts from 2012 into this year as well? Are you going to carry that weight, that burden with you for the rest of the year? Let it slow you down. Let it weigh you down. Let it burden you so that you can't be and I can't be and this church can't be everything that God has called us to? Are we going to make ourselves prisoners of these things of pain and of pride and of stuff and of rights and all the excuses that we can make? Or are we going to say like Paul at the beginning of this letter, I choose to make myself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I choose to make my will a prisoner of the will of Jesus Christ. I choose to make my plans and my thoughts a prisoner to the plans and to the thoughts of Jesus Christ. I value unity in the church, and I value peace and forgiveness in the church more than I value my own comfort, my own awkwardness, my own whatever it is. And I challenge you this year. Let's put away old pains. Let's put away old hurts. Let's put away all those burdens and that baggage that we've been carrying with us for so many years, for so long. I want that burden taken off of me. Do you guys want that burden taken off of you? Do you guys want to be free? Do you guys want to be able to run with Jesus? Do you guys want to be able to follow Jesus wherever he leads? Or would we rather hold on to those old things? I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ. Take up his burden. Take up his yoke. He calls you a friend, but I challenge you to make yourself a prisoner of his will. To make yourself a prisoner of the plans that he has for you. You will never regret it. You will never regret it. You will never look back and say, I regret following you, Lord. And whether it's in Australia or in Indonesia or in Romania or here in this church, God will use you because he hasn't created any one of you to be bench warmers. He hasn't made any one of you to sit on a pew, to sit on a chair. He created you to be powerful men and women of God. He created prophets in this place. He created singers and worship leaders in this place. He created pastors in this place, preachers and teachers in this place. He created prayer warriors in this place. He created an army to go out into Anaheim and to win Anaheim for him. But if we carry around burdens and pain and hurt with us, we will never reach our potential. But if we willingly submit ourselves to Jesus Christ, everything that's impossible for us is possible with him. Amen.